Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to the Roast Battle Podcast. I'm Brian Moses. I'm here with Coach T.
Yeah.
Pat Barker.
Yo.
And the Roastmaster General is joining us yet again to recap another episode, Jeffrey Ross.
So much fun, Moses. These episodes, like, they get better and better. I don't know if it's me relaxing or the comics just knowing how to do it, but, man, this is some good ones.
Yeah. Later in the episode, we'll have Jerron Horton and Matt Broussard joining us to talk about their battle versus each other.
That's going to be a cool interview. Yeah. I'm curious to see Jerron's take on all three judges voting against him, even though he was so funny.
He was so good. Let's talk about that battle, Jerron versus Matt. Now, these are both good friends of yours. Jerron, definitely. And Matt basically loses to every eventual winner of the tournament or the show.
Right.
This time, that couldn't happen because these were just one-offs.
Right.
Now, what'd you think about this matchup, and why'd you put these two together?
We had trouble finding a challenger for Matthew Broussard, because you can't just throw anybody at him. He'll eat him alive. And, you know, he's not a typical, you know, creature from the Black Lagoon roast battler. He's like a real good-looking guy, tall, super creative. And Jerron's like that.
Exactly.
So I thought, all right, well, here's like, you know, if there was going to be like two grooms on the top of a wedding cake and an interracial gay marriage.
That's a good looking boy.
This would have been the battle.
Uh-huh.
And they stepped up, man. Jerron was really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, for my first time on TV, I would have been shaken. Because even to just do stand-up or an acting job, you know, I know he's appeared on I'm Dying Up Here, but, you know, that's nerve-wracking when you have big cameras pointed at you and you're trying to do an intimate scene.
Right.
But it's when you're on that roast battle arena stage and everyone's looking at you and someone's calling you names.
Right.
And you got Nikki Glaser and Jeselnik and me judging you and ready to judge you. You know, I got a shout out to Jerron. Balls of steel, played it cool, and was totally hilarious. And his sweet mom Kim was there too.
Yeah.
Oh, she was. I didn't see
Kim, Jerron's mom.
Way to go, Jerron's mom.
Yeah. I mean, from a battler's perspective, I know you really appreciated this this battle.
I love this battle.
It was a slugfest of jokes.
I love this battle.
Like, it could have went to overtime.
It was perfect, pure writing. And I love a lot of the theatrics of roast battle that we've seen earlier. You know, in the month. But this was just two guys who came out. They're both wearing just like a shirt and jeans, and they just showed up with their jokes. You know, there was no extracurricular antics. There was no bullshit. It was just pure jokes the whole way through, and they were great.
It felt like bare knuckle boxing in a sense, or like a Mickey Ward or Arturo Gatti fight. It was just, I mean, literally, you didn't know who was going to win this one.
Yeah, it was. I would say this was our most competitive episode of the season thus far.
Right. I mean,
because
we started
with that, and then the main event was very similar in that it was two great joke writers and
also
very, very, very close.
Now, there's some good behind the scenes with this one. We're really going to dig into for this one, Roastmaster. Now, these are two of your favorite roast writers.
Yeah.
And Tony Hinchcliffe and Mike Lawrence.
Yeah.
You have these guys on basically every roast you've done for the last, I don't know, four or five.
Right.
And you love these two. Mike won season one, the tournament. Tony's a favorite. He's got a hit podcast called Tony. Basically, where he's roasting, you know, new comics and finding out new things about them.
Right. He gives people a chance, too, like the roast.
Yeah.
People come to L.A., and there's really two places to go to get any sort of community, and that's either Kill Tony or Roast Battle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Tony is very much in the world of roasting.
Yes, he is.
He really takes it seriously. And not many people take it as seriously as Tony, except, I would say, Mike Lawrence,
right,
who also is amazing.
Yeah.
So getting a matchup for either of them was hard. They don't want to battle people they don't care about. Mm. They don't want to battle people they're not friends with. And Mike is happier when he's battling a friend. Tony he's never happy no matter who he's battling. You know, I asked Tony who he wanted to battle. He sent me a list. It was like Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Secretary of the Navy.
Right.
He wanted people that we could never get. Like, he really wanted a big matchup. And to be honest, when I when I mentioned Mike Lawrence, he balked.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I'm not really tight with Mike. He's not really up to my roasting. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's an interesting comment.
Right.
Yeah.
And what'd you think about that comment?
I told him he was crazy. You know? And Mike had a similar reaction.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Mike also was hesitant to battle Tony, not because he's afraid. Neither of them were afraid. It was just like, ah, that's not somebody I want to think about for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, that's really what it comes down to.
Right.
And I said to them, why don't you guys, like, talk? Like, maybe coordinate some intros and make it, like, a fun wrestling type moment. And they were both like, nah, we're good.
Yeah.
They both suddenly kicked into this other Darth Vader mode.
Like super competitive, huh?
Yeah.
Which is funny because they're both WWE fans.
Right.
It was like, do some off the rope shit, but they're like,
but they're
way
both comics, and being a comic isn't like being a wrestler. It's like being a boxer.
Right. Okay.
You want to win.
Yes.
All right.
And they both want to win.
And here's a clip of Tony Hinchcliffe versus Mike Lawrence.
You both know the rules. Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Are we ready? Tony, champ, let's roast.
Mike looks like Louis C.K.'s genitals. Because he's about to get beat in front of an audience.
What a fun battle this is between two roast writers, me and who's ever helping Tony tonight. Really, man, I just can't wait to see what fat, ugly nerds you hired to call me a fat, ugly nerd. If you want to see something Tony's written all by himself, you could just go to his Wikipedia page.
Everybody knows Mike's a great writer. That's how he got the Emmy. Nom, 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 nom. Mike wrote on the last season of Schumer's show and the last season of Crashing. He's ended more shows than Harvey Weinstein's boner.
Yeah, I am fed. I am literally twice the comic you are.
I do think Mike Lawrence, and maybe this is a controversial statement, but I do think Mike Lawrence is the better battler, but I think Tony won that night.
I have something I have to ask you about, because I was up amongst the people for this battle. I was by the back bar, and there was a lot of controversy about the decision, and a lot of people pointed out that Tony had the Tom Brady-style playbook on his arm.
Oh, is that what
which
that was?
No way, that's what that was? With his jokes on it. But see, I took that as a gag. Like, oh, I'm like the quarterback, let me look at my playbook. I didn't think he was actually using that.
By the way, notes aren't... They're not disallowed.
They're not disallowed, but there were some people who were saying it was so close to, like, I give the edge to Mike because he didn't need that thing.
Right.
And I was like, I don't think Tony really needed it either. What was your perception of that? Did you think he was seriously using that?
Yes. And I
think... Yes, that boy was swimming.
And I commend him for it because he did it with the timing of a professional.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There was a big applause break. And some break of the action. It might have been the wave popping out and doing something. And Tony, when no one's looking at him, when he knows he's not on camera or not the center of attention in that moment, or not as much the center of attention in that moment, he flipped it up and he looked at it in case he needed an overtime joke because it was looking like it was a close battle. So it was during the judging or at the end of the battle when the bell was going off, he flipped it open. And other people use... cheat sheets in different ways, cue cards or teleprompter,
a clipboard.
Shout out Jimmy Carr.
So I figure, why penalize Tony for making it subliminal and discreet and helping him be a better battler? It's like picking your favorite corner man.
And
you know,
to be honest, I mean, these guys actually they We got to these guys later, I think, so they only had a week to prepare, and then they both had hell of a week to like even prepare.
Beyond the week, they're both working full time.
Tony had a run up in Montreal just for last festival, the most prestigious comedy festival we have. Mike is working on HBO's Crashing, so they only had 7 days to prepare. I think others got a little more time. Those guys had probably the least amount of time besides you and Blake Griffin.
Mike was working on the Crashing set in New York till 2 a.m. and had to get on a plane at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So
same thing with Tony.
This is very strenuous.
Yeah, but as
professionals, and I'm not sure, you know, it's fair that they have to rise to the occasion like that.
But they did. But
man, did they.
Yeah.
That was... Yeah, I would say either that or Jamar versus Yamanika has been the best battle of our season. I thought both battles were outstanding.
Yeah.
Really close.
They won up to, yeah.
Fun, polar opposites in terms of energy and, you know, color, style and skin color.
You're saying best is hard, wasn't a clear winner. What do you mean?
I'm saying best as in it was really competitive the whole way through, great joke writing, and yeah, at the end, I like it when there's a little bit of controversy over the winner. I think that's healthy. I think that's good. I think that's what, you know, what we do.
Oh, Jeff, were you concerned about how the outcome might affect your relationships with any of these comments?
I was. It weighs on me immediately, and it weighs on me through the rest of the night, even into my battle later on. I was still obsessing about, is Mike Lawrence here? Did he leave? Mm. I want to make sure, you know, and he does know how much I appreciate him and respect what he does. I mean, I learned how to roast battle from watching Mike Lawrence and other people who do the show, but Mike especially he's just a great comic and a great guy. And I mean, if I had my way, he would roast battle every time.
Yeah, Tony was really focused, man.
I gotta say, Tony Hinchcliffe on that night took like other big targets with him. He did topical jokes off stuff that's happening in the news. He didn't go back to the same well very much, and he was dynamic, and he was hilarious.
Yeah, good for Tony. I'm glad he had an opportunity to get his shine on last night there on Comedy Central. But for Mike Lawrence, for those of you who don't know, Mike Lawrence is always or usually judging in the belly room, and he kills. He's really, really funny. He's very well respected. But before he was a judge, he battled. And he battled, and we have one of those battles on tape from a long, long time ago, like maybe 2-3 years. Mike Lawrence is going against a good friend of his by the name of Guy Branum. Now, Guy Branum is like huge right now, and I'm not just talking about how much he weighs. I mean, he's got his own show on True TV. I mean, he's all over the place. He's a touring, very successful comic. But a few years ago, he was on the come up, and he had a battle with Mike Lawrence, and we have it recorded. So we're just going to play a small clip of that. We're just going to play the first round, and then we're going to get back to Jerron and Matthew Broussard. So here's a quick first round of some of Mike Lawrence's old jokes, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Remember, Mike Lawrence, Guy Branum, are we fucking ready for this? I thought so. Let's roast!
Guy Branum grew up on a farm, and everyone was mean to him except the lovely spider Charlotte, who let everyone know he was some terrific pig. Guy Branum is proof that you are what you eat, a bitter asshole. Guy, you must think that we're all a bunch of dicks because you always spit on us when you talk. Boys Don't Cry is about the people guys had sex with. You've broken more Asians' backs than the railroad industry.
And that's round one. Oh, man.
All right, here's a clip of Jerron Horton versus Matt Broussard. And after this, we're going to sit down with Matt Broussard and Jerron Horton as they tell us what happened during their battle.
Roasters! Who wants to go first? Are we ready for this? Let's roast!
honestly, I feel sorry for Matt. Do you know how hard it is being a straight white male who's gay as fuck? For real, Matt, you look like Prince Charming if he found Cinderella's shoes and started wearing them.
Jaron, I'm really happy you're here. I'm glad to see the Get Out surgery went well.
That's funny because you look like you work the concierge desk in the sunken place. Matt, I actually have a math problem for you. If you put two roofies into one drink, how did you only get 3 months probation?
That's a good one, fuck boys to men.
And we're back with Jaron Horton and Matt Broussard, fresh off their battle. Gentlemen.
What's up?
That was a banger.
That was a fun one.
Thank you.
That was one of the most fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How you feeling post-battle?
I feel tired. It just was a lot. It was draining just writing for him and trying to, like, prepare. And
oh, you wrote for him?
I mean, I didn't.
Oh, shit. Oh.
But what I'm saying is that it was just, like, a challenge, like, getting prepared and, like, finding which jokes are the best ones to, like, try to use. That it's just draining thinking yeah. about that shit.
And what was your strategy going into this one?
My strategy was definitely to try to be clean because of my job outside of here. It's like I can't go up and call them, like, you know.
Yeah. You work for the Oprah Network, OWN.
Yeah, yeah, oh. yeah. So I don't want to, like,
jeopardize.
Be on camera, you know, saying some really, like, fucked up,
yeah,
vulgar shit.
Didn't you call, like, a bitch-ass nigga or something?
That's different. That
was, dude, I called him we, that. You got
we, no. we say bitch-ass nigga on our show.
That's true.
We say bitch and nigga.
That was the original title.
Yeah.
The series, bitch-ass yeah, nigga. Bitch-ass nigga.
Okay. No, we can say that, but I'm just talking about, like, you know, yeah. anything that's too politically correct. I don't want to, like,
oh, I see yeah. what you're saying.
Bitch-ass nigga's fine, but...
Yeah, there are lines. There are lines that you, they're safer to not cross. But
okay.
Yeah.
What was your strategy going in for Jaron?
It changed a bit. I didn't want to fall on race too much. I had a learning lesson with Frank Castillo. Where I was just like, those were just racist statements. Like, that was like, yeah. And I was like, let's see if I can stay away from race. I wanted to get a breadth of attack of, like, each joke attack something different. And he did a great job of that, where it was like, he could hit me on one thing for one joke and a different thing for the next joke and a different thing. So it's like, how thoroughly can you take them down across, you know, different things in just five jokes? And, I think I fell back on race in the last show.
Yeah. But that was, yeah. You saved it for last.
Save it for
the
last.
The best for last.
But you called it out ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah, just because, you know, it's L.A. It's an L.A. crowd. They're going to be tense about weird stuff, and I look like this, so.
Yeah. Very airy. They seem to like that joke, though.
I think it did. I think if I had gone first with that joke, it would have. I think it would have been very different.
Right.
Yeah. But it was fun.
What was what was your favorite joke of his he told about you?
Man, it didn't hit me till later in the night. The Comedy Central joke. I can't remember the wording of it.
But
that was beautiful. Because to me, a good roast joke is one that can't ever be used again.
Right.
Can only be used on that person, sometimes even only by that person on that person. There's no other person you could use that joke on. And what was brilliant about it is that you want to be the underdog. You want to tear someone down in a roast battle, but everyone's rooting for the underdog. And in that joke, he lifted me up and tore me down at the same time. So
right.
he propped me up as this bad guy with a lot of things going for him,
yeah.
yet made himself, and yet tore me apart. It was brilliant.
Brilliant.
I've never, I didn't even think someone was going to come after me for that. you want to say the joke?
Matt's been on Adam Devine's house party. He's been on At Midnight, and he's been on every season of Roast Battle. Comedy Central should get Me Too the way they've been forcing this dick down our throat.
Beautiful.
So good.
Yeah. What was your favorite joke of his he told about you?
I would say my favorite one was the Oprah one, because it wasn't like it was one. It was funny. But it wasn't like negative to the show.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you're saying you're talking bad about the show. It was like you made it about me,
right?
Which is, you said, well, I look like a sleazy ass motherfucker. Like, what do you know about love? Like, fuck boys to men.
Oh,
I love it. I love it. But I mean,
it's my favorite show. Why would I talk bad about it?
But can I fuck boys to men? But can I say this? That white folks, y'all took fuck boy and turned that shit into like a compliment.
I mean, straight up, by the way.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it in the black way.
Oh, with an eye? Okay.
I'm aware the word has been gentrified.
Well, he is from Atlanta. He is from Atlanta, so okay. I forget that.
Matthew Bissard is one of the only battlers in the history of roast battling to have 90% of his battles on TV. But there is one battle out there that you did that was non-televised, and I actually have it. It's got to be like 4 years old. It's really, really old. It's against Sean Leary, and it's the only non-televised battle that Matt Bissard has. So keeping up in the tradition with this podcast where we have a great conversation kind of blended in with some great roast jokes, let's go to a clip between your one rounder undercard battle against Sean Leary.
Thank you, Sean. Alright, Sean's up. This is Matt. Let's roast!
Yo. Alright, hey, Matthew Broussard has openly admitted to being able to give himself a blowjob. It's nice to know not just your personality sucks dick.
Sean Leary, you Voldemort motherfucker. You remind me of the movie American History X, but at least that movie made me laugh.
Okay. Matthew Bissard, you live in a two-bedroom apartment in West Hollywood. You got the extra bedroom so you had another closet to hide in.
Did Eric Hahn help you write that one?
Oh! Inside bag joke.
Yeah. This is redundant. Sean Leary, you...
Oh, okay.
Oh, is it my turn?
Sorry.
Sean Leary, you poor man's Ben Bailey. You, fun fact about Sean Leary, he was born in 1989 when the kid from The Indian in the Cupboard put a Bringer Show flyer into the cupboard. Back of the room, where are you at?
Dude.
Where are you at, back of the room?
Matthew, dude. Matthew, you are so pretentious. Your spirit animal is Billy Zane in Titanic.
Niche reference. Very good niche reference.
Niche reference.
Sean Leary.
Yep.
Your scalp is so shiny that when I look into it, I can perfectly see how much better my career is going.
Matthew Broussard's father has Parkinson's, but his most violent head shaking happens when he watches Matt tell people that he's straight.
Double down on the gay stuff. I have sucked a dick before, so. Sean Leary. My own, that's right. That's good. That's a callback, and she got it, and she explained it to you guys. Sean Leary.
Sean Leary,
Nosferatu piece of shit. Niche reference.
Obscure. Too obscure.
All of your jokes are about dating and airplane food. If your comedy was any hackier, you'd be a comedy store paid regular.
Oh!
Unity. Yes. See, audience, white privilege does work, all
right? You got that right.
But no, I thought after you know, 6 episodes of Roast Battle, I thought that was probably the most competitive one across the board.
Right.
That was the one where I really felt like it needed one extra joke at the end. I thought
agree.
It was going to go overtime. I thought that was the one where both parties came out of it looking absolutely fantastic. It was great.
I mean, obviously going in, it looked fantastic too.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet. Thank
I just
you.
Fixed my hair for the. Oh no, it's, you have a camera, so that joke doesn't work. There you go.
Yeah, it was pretty competitive. I know you're a really competitive person, man. And I don't take you for a very competitive person, but are you?
Yes.
You really? Damn.
I was a runner and a swimmer, so yeah. Not a good one, but like I like those individual like.
If I wanted to compete with someone, I wouldn't jump in a pool with them. Like, I get it, but I mean, like, it's a different level.
You can't swim. So, I mean, first of all,
yeah, come on, I'm a
great swimmer. That's a false premise.
I'm a great swimmer, but I mean, like, I know, like, he's a contact sport competitor. Can I say that way?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a different energy.
It's a white boy from the South.
No, I mean, it's competition is competition, whether it's swimming or academic. Ew. Like, it's still like that same drive, whatever, to like beat somebody.
You're like, I got to get that ass.
Yeah. I mean, I'll also
that's
say
why he
this.
Competes. He's our most tenured battler. You know what I mean? That thing is, like, what, your 6th battle now?
No, I think more. Are you including...
I'm saying on TV.
On TV. That would be my, I guess, 5th. No, 6th. Yeah, 6th. Yeah.
Because you did 1 in the belly room, right?
I've done 1 in the belly room. I did 4 in Montreal. 2015 Montreal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like most of our strongest battlers came up through the belly room. And Matthew is one of those guys who skipped that and still manages to nail the format every single time.
Yeah, that was in the gate program of Roast Battle.
I don't think I do. What was that?
You're in the gate program of Roast Battle.
I don't know if I do well in the belly room. I think it's a different energy, and I won't name names. I'm not like trying to shit talk anyone. There are people who do really well in the belly room who don't do well on the TV show.
Yeah,
there are some differences in those audiences, and I think it's the harshness. And I think our battle had like. There was respect in each joke. It wasn't just going straight for the meanest thing. It was said in a clever way.
Absolutely.
Which is what I was doing. And, like, you know, trying to avoid easy stuff.
Then also when you get harsh on the closer, there's been tension that builds up to it. You know what I mean? It's not – you haven't gone to that well so often that it loses impact.
I like how you gave yourself a little shield and you said, this is how I'm going to lose the crowd. I was smart.
Yeah.
I had to go.
That was is that a weird thing to do?
No.
It's great. What are you talking about?
That gave you the room to do what you needed to do.
Yeah.
Especially in that LA crowd. Like, you were smart enough to know, like, okay, if I say that and I prep it first, they can digest it easier. And that's actually pretty smart. I was like, man, way to go.
Yeah.
Work.
Joke, by the way.
Yeah, maybe that statement is what won the battle for you. Nah. I'm beyond it was literally that
my
close.
Second joke whiffed. It's crazy. What's also crazy is I think this is the experience. You run your jokes by your friends. You call like 4 or 5 friends who are comedians, and you tell it to them, and you get varying opinions. And one of the jokes that everyone was like, yes, do that one, was the one that just missed. My joke that I was just like, wow, that's just not a reaction. And I was like, oops.
What was
it's
it?
Funny. It was his
second joke.
It was his no one's going to know my name because have I been hitting the head a lot?
He's taking a lot of hits to the head, so after the show, he also won't remember his name.
So what happened? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
what was going through my head when he said that joke? I was like, oh, I'm about to beat this nigga. I was like, I'm black. He's so unlikable looking.
And sounding.
And they didn't like his joke. And I was like, I got this good one. And I got a laugh. And then he did his get out joke. And then he kind of looked at me like.
Your
like,
turn.
Fuck. But I had to think on the fly. At least I got to use mine too to move it up right at that time and all that shit. Yeah, but I just it is like a kind of, you know, fun to see the, like, be in the battle, like, not even know what else is going on around you, just against this person.
That boxing match.
Okay, it's time to get back into another battle. This one is a real old school, but a classic against everybody's beloved season 2 champion Frank Castillo. He went against in-studio guest Jerron Horton a long, long time ago. So It's a three rounder. So we're going to break up each round and keep this lovely conversation going between Jerron and Matthew. So let's get into these jokes and get back into the conversation. So listen to Jerron going against Frank Castillo.
Remember, Jerron, Frank, let's roast!
Come on!
Hey!
Frank's a really nice guy. He'd even give you the shirt off his wet back.
One for one. Big fan of that joke.
Jerron looks like the action figures his dad never bought him.
Oh, shit! Oh, shit! Oh, shit! Two for two!
Frank doesn't speak much Spanish. He only knows the word C because that's his bra size.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Jerron's forehead's so big, his mom's pussy looks like the Tracy Morgan car crash.
Relax. I'm not surprised Frank printed out his jokes tonight. He's Mexican. They have to walk around with their papers.
Oh! I'm gonna mic up.
Jerron abandoned a kid when he found out it wasn't his. He left so fast, his real dad would have been impressed.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah.
Holy shit. We start calling this race battle. Jesus Christ, you two. Nothing but racist jokes.
And yeah. That was fun.
You did. This is something. We've known each other for a while. And not like super, super close. But we get there at like 3. And there was a moment where I think there was like weird tension between us on stage early on. Because he's handsome and like a successful writer, and he intimidates me. And I let it get to my head, and he a few minutes later, he comes up and he goes, "Hey, you good?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Are you good?" I said, "Yeah, what's up?" He's like, "Let's just make this a good battle, man. Let's make it fun. It doesn't matter who wins or loses. Let's just go up there and look our best, and let's enjoy it."
Yeah.
And it was such a relief. I think it made the battle so good. I respect him. For doing that.
That's awesome.
It's
you
just
really
great. Because if you like the person, it's such a fun battle.
No, we were rehearsing, and I was like, what I'm going to do in rehearsal is I'm just going to use jokes I'm not going to use.
Yeah.
Right. And
you have a boxing mentality. Like to intimidate before. That's not something we do in swimming. That's not something we do at the country club.
Listen, he's not making that tension up, man.
No.
You had your chest out. You was big.
You saw it?
Threw
out a really good joke in the warm-up.
No, yeah, I'd said a joke to him, and then it got a little laugh from like the stand-ins and like the people in the crew, just a little one. And then he was like, I kind of saw him like, oh, we're doing this. But he didn't. He was like, Jerron, you look like you use your decent jokes in rehearsal. And I was like, Matt, you look like you're nervous. And then he was like, you're not self-aware.
You said, I am.
I heard that.
I said, oh, I am. Yeah. And then it's like,
case
see?
In point.
See? And I was like,
got too tense. Yeah. That was my fault.
I was just fucking with him. Honestly,
I've never been fucked with. Nothing bad has ever happened to me.
I only did it just to fuck with him. I wasn't going to let that energy sit because I didn't want our battle to be something that was like
Pat and Eli.
Yeah. No, yeah, though. I didn't want it to be like a
That was wise, that was emotionally intelligent. That was one of the coolest interactions.
Yeah, I didn't want it to be like fueled with any negativity because I didn't want to like be like, now I definitely got to beat him. And he's thinking, man, he's like trying to go over his jokes. And he like, you know, he's so into it that he fucks his shit up. Then and if I win because he fucked his shit up.
The funny thing is, I had the same conversation with Eli. I pulled him aside just like Jerron did to you, and I was like, it doesn't matter who wins, everything's gonna be fine. But let me ask you this, because you in seasons 1 and 2 lost to the eventual champion. Do you prefer the new format? Do you feel like it takes pressure off to not have $25,000 and a trophy on the line, and you could just go out there and have a great battle and not worry about winning and losing?
Yeah, it's hard to separate because now I'm starting to feel more comfortable in this. I'm starting to get used to this. So I had fun because I know how this works, but I also had fun because of that. It was the most at ease I've been, the most I've just really enjoyed the moment, being like, ah, this is great to be up here. This only lasts 5 minutes, you know, and just savor it. Talk industry terms, there was a lot of exposure that came out of being on 4 battles back to back to back.
Right.
That was really cool, but that's the only thing I feel sacrificed in this new format.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, because this season's predicated on relationships, and we'd already locked Matt in, so let's go behind the scenes. Matt was, because Comedy Central really wanted Matt this season because they love him, obviously. As said by Jerron's joke, they keep forcing this dick down our throat.
And I still don't stick?
Yeah. But we gave him a list of people, and you know, we asked like who we wanted to battle, and Jerron stuck out to him. He was just like, you know what, Jerron would be fun. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I respect that dude, and I really want to battle him. So why?
And there's similarities,
the
list, too, yeah.
Why did you choose Jerron?
It's a similar thing. I've never battled. Well, first of all, we're both tall,
good-looking dudes, yeah.
Guys with like a sports background, not
build,
traditional
yeah.
characters in comedy, not good,
right.
You know, not a good vessel for comedy. He's an experienced battler. Yeah. And I thought we kind of represent the same thing from kind of different backgrounds,
right.
in a lot of ways. I knew it'd be funny. I knew he'd bring it. And, I thought it'd be fun. I've also never battled a black person before.
Right. I knew that. Actually.
And can't wait till I get to. Sorry.
Hey. We're tired.
Let's roast.
No way, man.
Frank's a shitty performer. His best impression is the one he leaves on the couch.
Oh. I don't know.
Frank's so lazy that he's a stand in for Forrest Whitaker's eye. Frank's so out of shape, he can't even run the light. Frank's always there if you need him. And when the chips are down, you can always count on Frank to eat the chips off the floor. Last one. I just want to say that it takes a lot of guts to do the roast battle. And here they are right here.
Come on,
whenever
Frank.
I see Jerron, I always get scared because I feel like he's going to sell me candy for his high school basketball team.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Jerron looks like he moisturizes with truffle butter. Jerron's next battle is spelling Greg Fitzsimmons on the marquee outside. Jerron's forehead is a lot like his stand-up because it just goes on and on and on and on.
Wow. Impressive. Good job, you two. Yes. Good job,
that's what I love about roasting. It's like roasting is still kind of a new thing to me. The thing I love about it is it's a place where I think why it can go so wildly one way or the other, veterans lose, is because it's this place where like your joke writing shines so much. Like stand-up, it's like it's such a mixture of performance and writing. It's like these are purely my jokes on Showcase. Like it's so liberating. It's so fun to just be judged on your words and letters.
And
it's fun to try to like go after stuff that people like no one else has already tried to talk about.
Right.
And it was hard for you because I didn't like interview you on like any deeper things that I could use. And like I listened to his podcast, and they were all like, every podcast you've done, I've heard you on, it's like you talk about the same thing, like, because they're always asking you the same thing, his background and, you know, how he became who he was. And I just was like, shit, I just gotta keep it as surface as possible, because that's all I really knew about him, and I don't want to I don't want to try to reach for anything.
I think the problem people fall into with the roast battle is, especially in the belly room, you got to get the joke out in like 5 seconds. So to set things up and give that exposition to make it specific to that person, you risk losing the crowd, so then people fall back on like easy shit.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that I love about both of you guys, is that you're willing to take the time to let your jokes break. That shit you did against Zach Amico season 2, that like really long joke, like I respect that.
Yeah. There is still what blows me away is how short of jokes you can use, and like just such quick jokes that get you can do like 6-word jokes that get as big of a reaction as your closer.
I feel like it's harder to do short jokes on TV though, like
really?
On the TV roast battle.
Yeah,
because I feel like the audience wants more. I feel like they want more. Like even like sometimes like you get, I got a big laugh on the first joke, and I'm like, I could just let this ride and save this next one for later. But I'm like, he was doing two. Like, I was like, I feel like you had to do two. It's kind of like,
I fell into his like his rope a dope.
What you mean?
It was like you fell into his strategy. It's like, oh, if he's doing two, now I got to do two.
I feel like I had to for the judging or whatever, you know?
Yeah, because it's like. Amount of punches thrown.
I
still feel bad about going after his blackness, because I was like, well, I shouldn't say anything racist. I think going after someone's blackness is more racist. I don't know.
It's funny. It doesn't matter if it's funny. I don't understand. It doesn't matter if it's funny.
Okay.
Why can't you do something if it's funny? If it's for the art of making the crowd connect to a joke and a premise and laugh, then what does it matter?
I guess I will never know how it feels to be a black man having my blackness insulted. Doesn't seem like it'd be fun, but
I don't think it's possible to insult my blackness. That's crazy, because I would have to have a negative connection with my blackness.
Yeah, I don't think you didn't insult my blackness. You insulted my race. You didn't insult my my character, my black,
his black personality. Yeah.
Well, I guess the Get Out joke was kind of that.
Oh yeah,
now
that
you understand.
Okay, yeah. Now that I guess he did.
That was a slick joke. That was a slick joke, because I know Jerron, and I'm like, well, that wouldn't work if I know you, because you don't come off that way. Yeah. But on stage, the way that you were dressed for TV, I was like, oh, dude, that shit's perfect.
Yeah, he looked like he was dressed like a character on Doug.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that was a well joke.
Was I?
Yeah.
Which one? Was that like Roger? That was Roger.
Roger
Skeeter.
Lots.
Skeeter.
Skeeter. I'll take that. Skeeter had a goofier style.
Yeah.
Frankie's up.
Yeah.
Frankie's up. This is Jerron. That's Frank. Let's roast.
Jerron would have made it to the NFL if only his mom had an arm just like his dad could run.
Oh.
Frank's been bald for so long, he has a prescription for hats.
Black Lives Matter, Jerron Horton's doesn't.
Oh. Yikes.
Frank has always had a thing for ugly chicks. He's been on the ones and twos longer than Coach T.
Oh, fuck.
Jerron looks like the slave that complains that the others aren't working hard enough.
Frank's known as the life of the party because he was born at his mom's quinceañera.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Jerron always has the look on his face like he's awaiting the results of a paternity test.
Frank lost his cousin this year. It's sad, but at least they have one more thing in common. Now they're both under 6 feet.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Listen, Jerron's also balding. Soon he's going to be the Fresh Prince of no hair.
Frank's shirts are packed like the roast battle because there's not enough belly room.
topical.
That's the end of the fucking match. Make it loud, everybody.
Yeah.
Yes!
We had a phone call before just to, like, you know, talk, you know, basically ask questions about each other. It was just a quick, you know, what's off limits. And we both established, you know, don't go after my friends. Don't go after my family. And it was very respectful on that. And then I asked him a bunch of questions, where he's from, schooling, where he lived, his jobs, his family, his friends. And then it got to him. I'm like, so you have any questions for me? He's like, nope. I'm like, what? Because like, I'm just going to keep it surface. And that fucked with me so much.
Yeah, like, exactly. Seems like
well, yeah, I just wanted to, the hardest part about writing for him was like not saying rape. I was like, how do I talk about him without saying rape? And he's not a rapist at all, but you just have the frat guy
absolutely.
Look.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if I was battling me, I would do 3 of 5 date rape jokes. Like, it's just three such a fun one to use on me. Joke,
yeah, huh? As I'm saying.
What's that?
Another 3/5 joke, huh?
Yeah.
He told me that one. But, like, even the one I did that was about, like, the roofies, it wasn't even about him personally. Was about the way you look, just because of that guy.
What was that joke?
It was like a math problem.
Oh,
it's like if you put 2 roofies into 1 drink, how'd you only get 3 months probation?
Oh, right. And it's just that was beautiful.
Off of like one of the dudes who some frat guy.
Brock Turner.
Yeah.
It's just a commentary on the Stanford swim team, dude.
I almost wish you had actually thrown some exposition in that joke of just Matthew has a degree in mathematics. Here's a question.
Yeah.
Because I think people don't realize, most people would never think that about.
No, originally it was written Matt has a degree in mathematics, but running my jokes by my friends are like, that one could be cut down. That one could be cut down.
I just, that's the thing about TV. You can use the exposition. That's the thing I love about it. You can be like, that's what the Oprah Network. Like, it's quick.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot of things you wish you could go back and do differently. But, you know, I mean, you probably felt the same way fucking losing to Frank.
Yeah.
Like that thing you probably.
One thing I could do differently, and that's pronounce the word paint correctly.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you learn from it. You were fucking spot on in our battle. You didn't fucking hit every fucking period and comma.
I mean, bro. I was like how does he get it all out? So I just enunciate so well. There's so many words in that joke.
It's such an unnatural performance. Like, Rose Belling is such an unnatural performance because I'm speaking so articulately that I sound like Siri is talking to you.
For me,
it was. And then he made fun of it, which was so fun. Look, he made fun of the way I pronounced it.
He really lays the ER.
It was, for me, to just keep my, like, I was like, every time he'd do a joke, I had this, like, this random, like, half white, half Asian dude that was sitting right here, and he would, like, give me the nod to go do my next. I'd look over at him, I'd look at the crowd, I'd watch him, he'd get the laugh, I'd watch everyone laugh at me, and then my half Asian, half white dude would go. And then I
that was
back.
Your cut, man?
That was like my guy, yeah. Because he just was the first one to give me any confidence when I walked on stage. He's the first person I saw. And
did you
like,
know this dude?
No. I could point him out on camera, though. I could see him. He was like my little boat of confidence. Yeah. He's like,
that's
all right,
great.
Get a joke. You got this.
Yes.
That's pretty good. Well, you guys are great writers, man.
Thank you.
Really, really good writers.
Anything else to add, Pat?
No, just thank you guys for a great battle. And, thanks for joining us on the podcast, too.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks for having us.
That was Jerron Horton, Matt Broussard, post-battle. Thank you, fellas.
It's a good show.